Be back here with you folks again. Take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians, if you would please. And while you're turning there, my wife and I are with the Victory Baptist Press out of Milton, Florida. And it's a few miles from here, needless to say, but we're on the road full time for the press, always telling folk about the great need we have for paper. Victory Baptist Press is, we're celebrating our 40th year of printing Bibles for missionaries and ministries around the world. And we can say that we've never charged one penny for any Bible we've ever distributed. And God has just always supplied the need. And Dee and I stay on the road. It was somewhere, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, we were here with you for the first time. And you chose to put us on for support. We're one of your missionaries. And I always thought it'd be wonderful to move to Florida when I got older. And the Lord let us do that 7 years ago. Wow, we've been on the road 7 years full time. About 100 churches a year, 30 states last year. And time gets by so fast. But he let us move to Florida, and we're never there. And I think we were there 2 weeks out of the year last year. And something happened. There it goes as well. And somebody said to me this morning, are you from the South? And I said, well, how can you tell? And so let's get the South thing on out of the way. Yeah, we're from the South. And we're supposed to have been in Flagstaff today. Your pastor so graciously changed some things around for us. And they're having a little bit of snow up there, what we'd call a snowpocalypse or something. And, you know, when you're from the deep South as we are, if you have a hard frost, they cancel school down there. And you can't find a loaf of bread within five states. You know, everybody goes crazy, just a little snow. But anyway, it's good to be back here with you. Turn there and look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Read a few verses here. And I want to ask you today to, in your mind, put on the sandals of a missionary. I want to ask you to go with me after we read these scriptures in mind and study to the field with a missionary today. Verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now that's my main text today. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And I love that as somebody amen there a minute ago, who delivered us from so great a death. And this is Resurrection Sunday. Some refer to it as Easter, of course. And I'm especially thankful today. March 31st, 1981 was the day I got saved. And a missionary to England led me to the Lord. And I was in drugs. My life was a pretty bad mess. That's all I'll say about that. But the Lord Jesus saved my life and changed me and called me to preach that year. And boy, I tell you, I'm having the time of my life. God's been good. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Verse 11, and we'll talk to you about that this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray for the next few minutes you'll give me your wisdom to rightly divide this precious book and to magnify the Lord and help his work further. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you know the individuals of the Bible, you probably, many of you feel like I do, that the Apostle Paul was perhaps the greatest missionary of all time. And when you read about his exploits in the Bible, of course you read about the various places they went to throughout the book of Acts. But what we have here is a letter that the apostle is writing back to the church at Corinth. I personally believe that the apostle Paul was used of the Lord to write the book of Hebrews. And if you do believe that, then there's 14 books that God used this man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write. 9 of those letters that he wrote are letters back to churches. So I know all scripture is given by inspiration of God and we have a right to read this, but we're really reading the mail to the church at Corinth, written to them by a missionary that they support and therefore, and some of the feelings and about what he's going through and some things that are happening on the field and some various stuff in his journey that is taking place around him. And I do believe, as just an example of rabbit here, Chase, that I believe that the letters of a missionary back to the church are very, very important. It encouraged my heart. As soon as I walked in your door today, I looked over the right, and I always check. I saw our letter we sent in November. We sent one about 2 weeks ago to you. And I do believe it's very important that missionaries communicate back to their churches. And I can see here you take missions very seriously in your church, as our church does as well, at Victory Baptist Church and Press there in Milton, Florida. And to hear from the missionaries is important, not just to stick a letter on the wall, but to communicate what's going on in the fashion that perhaps the people in the church can stop and read what's going on with that missionary and his family and what they're doing on the field. And where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And, you know, if you're putting money out there on the mission field, you ought to have an interest to say, well, what's going out there? And I say your money. We know it's all the Lord's money, of course, but to see where the investment is going. And I believe that a missionary should not be ashamed. He should be ready to give an account for everything that he's doing and be a good steward. And in a fashion, any question ever asked, he can do that. That's why I also like the churches to send out missionaries, because they're accountable to their home church and they have their supporting churches as well. But this is a letter written back to the church at Corinth. And I used to tell missionaries when I pastored for several years, I would say, now listen, if you can cash a check of ours, you better be able to write us a letter and stay in contact, because that was one of the big things that if you didn't, missionary didn't communicate with our church, it was important that he may not get communication financially, you know, if we don't hear for quite some time. And I know things can happen. But here in these verses, the missionary Paul is writing about some things that were going on in Asia with him. Matter of fact, the word is used, trouble. And when he uses the word trouble, I note that God says in verse 8 that he said, we would not, brethren, to have you to be ignorant. And this clearly is the Lord telling us there's something that goes on in missionaries' life, or some things that happen in their life that God don't want us to be ignorant of. He wants us to be aware that they're in another world doing something that may be totally different from what the way we think life is done. I am an American, and I'm from the deep South. And there are certain ways in culture and ways that things happen and have been done, I guess you could say, for many of years, whether you want to say good or bad, in various ways. But on other mission fields and other places that missionaries often go, it's not America always, and it's another world of doing things. And I know we think as Americans, and we can our thoughts to go a certain way in our thought, but it's important that we recognize that missionaries, they have different sorts of troubles maybe that sometimes we don't ponder. And that's why I'm asking you today to, in your mind, wear for a few minutes the sandals of a missionary, because I believe in doing so, you might lead yourself to read a few more letters, and you might lead yourself, especially like he said here, helping together by prayer for us. And any Christian that's worth their salt, they know the value of what prayer can do for them in any aspect of their life. I thank God for money. Money answereth all things. Ecclesiastes writer said, and we know you can't. But the Lord can work it out even if you don't have the money coming in. And prayer is very important. Now here, God wants us to understand that missionaries have problems. He don't want us to be ignorant of that. And I would submit to say that I do believe that the average American Christian, and I can talk about us because I am one, if we went through maybe one time some of the things that missionaries go through daily or consistently in their lives, many of us would fold up and pull off to the side, and we would call it quits. We really would. As a matter of fact, in chapter 4 of this book, the apostle said, we are troubled on every side. And in this verse here, he said, we would not have you ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. In other places in the Bible, it describes the things that went on in the churches of Asia. Of course, you know the Revelator in Revelation 1 through 3. There's seven churches there in Asia Minor that is written to. You read in Acts about the things that took place in Asia. But Paul said, we want you to know that we ran into some real trouble. And you know what? They don't have to go looking for trouble when the missionary goes to the field. It comes to them. He says, which trouble which came to us when we were in Asia. And I don't necessarily know what kind of trouble specifically may happen to somebody in Asia. But man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. And you and I know, and many of us are not on the front firing line as we ought to be, but certainly the devil is real and he seeks to attack us. And you let a missionary try to do a work for God, trouble is going to come to them. to the place this great Christian said we were pressed out of measure in so much that we despaired even of life. And we would look at the man that would say, you know what, I didn't even care about living. We would say, well, jerk him off the mission field. We don't need to be sending this guy our money. But this is a great, great Christian saying that there were some days he despaired even of life, because what was going on in his ministry and life was pressing him out above measure. He couldn't even measure how much it was. It was above strength, more than any man could muster up strength to say, well, I'm going to pull myself up by my own bootstraps and I'm going to hang in there and not quit. He said, we just despaired even of life. And we can sit off the sidelines and sit in judgment as armchair spiritual quarterbacks and say, well, nobody ought to ever want to quit. I'm telling you what, you get in the race and you start getting buffeted and you go through trial after trial after trial, even the best of Christian can wear down. And this Apostle Paul, boy, he was doing great things. And you can read in later on in Corinthians about all the things, you know, thrice we suffered shipwreck, a night and the day we were in the deep. I'm not a great theologian, but I'll tell you this much. If I ever was running with those missionaries in the days of the Bible and the Apostle Paul said, hey, you want to go on a trip with me? I'd probably be resigned to say, no, I'll pass on this trip. Because usually he's ship sunk or he got thrown in jail or something like that. Troubles, which you and I, it's hard for us to wrap our brain around. You say, well, what can I do here? And when they're there, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now I want to talk for just a few minutes about some of these troubles that missionaries face that I'm sure maybe we never stop and ponder how great they can be. And I want you to notice in chapter 2, verse 13, it was so bad that Paul said, I had no rest in my spirit. Have you ever had a time in your life that you just tossed and turned and maybe even your spouse said, what's wrong with you? What did you sleep? I don't know. You just troubled. Amen. You couldn't rest. And that don't mean you're a bad Christian. You could just be going through some stuff, worry and anxiety. We know what that can do. That'd put crackers in anybody's bed, wouldn't it? And certainly just toss and turn into the place in chapter 2, verse number 4. Now, bear in mind how he wrote this. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. If you and I were looking around the corner when Paul's writing this, he's squalling his eyes out. He's weeping. Tears are dripping as he's writing that. I've never written anything like that before. But that's just the weightiness of what all this missionary was going through, that God says, I don't want you to be ignorant of their trouble, which came to them. And that's why the missionary's letters are so important. Somebody may say, did you hear about so-and-so, our missionary? He's got cancer, and their church split, and they're running him off. No, I didn't hear that. Oh, I didn't hear it. You might not have read the letter. You might not have prayed for that missionary and helped them. Here's some of the troubles that missionaries face. First of all, I'll say relationship troubles. Husbands and wives and their relationship. Boy, I'm getting ready to have my 42nd year of marriage. Praise the Lord. God's been good. I don't know if I could break in another one or not. And she certainly broke me in over the years. We've had a great run. 4 children and 3 of them in ministry. 14 grandchildren. God's been really good to us. Mighty good to us. But you know what? A marriage can get strained, especially sometime in ministry. And pressures of ministry and attacks and problems, they can make even the best of marriage waver. And sometimes people may say, well, you mean the preacher and his wife were arguing? Yes. Sometimes my wife and I's biggest arguments have happened on the way to church. You know, when your kid gets out and he looks like he's half dead, it's because we have killed him on the way to church. And somebody said, what happened to that dog you used to have? I killed him this morning. He got in the way. And, you know, everything coming to church and can be rough on Sunday morning. Sometimes just day by day, continual droppings, like in a rainy day, and problems mounting up on problems. The pressures can cause people to start snapping at each other. And, you know, I've known preachers to go through divorce. And I've known missionaries to come off the field because they went through divorce. And maybe we need to realize we might could have helped them by praying for them. Not just with the husband and the wife, but maybe the missionary and their children. You know, sons and daughters, you know, when they go to the mission field with mom and dad and they're little, they don't have much choice about it. But you let them grow up a little bit on the mission field, and all of a sudden Junior starts getting an attitude, and Susie wants to come back to America, and they didn't want to be there in the first place. You start hearing all about it, and you know, they weren't called to that field, so to speak. A missionary's children can cause great havoc in the ministry, same way a preacher's kid could. And you know, there's raising four and having pastored for years, there's a couple of times I wanted to kill one or two of mine and tell God it was an accident. And you know, because they can really mess some stuff up. And you know, cause some real havoc. One time I was pastoring, and one of our key men in the church, they came in and said, "Brother Smith, your son's outside. You better come out quick." That man had bought a brand new car the day before. And my son, who I watched this morning in Virginia, he's singing in the church today. And boy, God can work. And I went outside. He's about this tall. He climbed up on the top of that car, was jumping up and down like it was a trampoline. And boy, I tell you what, I whooped him all over that. I disciplined him, I guess you'd say, and straightened that little situation out. But they can, that, you know, that caused some problems. And it can do so for the missionary on the field. Or maybe it's the missionary and that national they're working with. Sometimes a missionary can go to the mission field and that national feels like he's trying to take over or trying to Americanize that area or something, and he can start causing some problems. Or maybe it's the missionary and the Lord. You know, I know that's kind of hard for us to perceive when we see their letters and we hear about what they're doing on the mission field. But you know, a missionary can backslide. Can you backslide? Yes. And a missionary can backslide. And he can get away from the Lord. And I sure do thank God that those times that the world is just, man, pounding the fire out of you, that I can put my arm around my wife and just breathe that relief, say, all is well at home. My wife and I are right together. This is, we'll make it through this. Or maybe to pick up that little grandkid, you know, and hold him up here and, you know, you say, it don't matter how bad it gets. I got that grandbaby in my arm. Or I got that child. Praise the Lord. But you know what? There's sometimes even that hug of a wife and that grasp of a little child can't meet that deep, deep need that's in every person's heart. And you get away from the Lord, that need can wane and that need can suffer. That missionary starts building churches and building buildings and getting people saved. He's doing everything under the sun, from cleaning the church to preaching the messages. And all of a sudden he gets there and looks up one day. He's not reading his Bible like he used to read it. He's not praying like he used to pray. And he's on the mission field and he's backslidden. Amen. God forbid. But we could help them by praying because of their relationship trouble. Sometimes it may be a personal trouble. Let's think about this. Pertaining to sickness. You know, missionaries go to the mission field. Sometimes malarias, diseases, bacterias. I went to Rwanda about 5 years ago and the missionary handed me the malaria medicine. He said, "You need to take this." And I thought he meant take it all at once. I was going to be there 10 days. And it was meant to be taken a little every day. And I took it all at once. It messed my heart up. I had to come home off the mission field quickly. And because I took it, was that whatever it was I had during COVID. And boy, it didn't do me right. And that missionary can get over there and he can run into parasites and dysentery and excessive fatigue. Have you ever gotten so tired that all you felt like he was doing is just going through the motions? Amen. And a missionary can get discouraged. When you get discouraged and tired, you'll start doubting. You'll start making mistakes. And you say, "Well, I never doubt." Well, I doubt you're telling me the truth, to be honest with you. And mental health for the missionary can be a real thing. Satan starts firing his arrows. You know, when you're around the brethren and they're strengthening you, that's one thing. But you take an American missionary, go to the mission field, and he gets there, and nobody's just like him, and anxiety and worry can certainly drain the vitality out of a missionary. But we help them by praying for them. Well, some people's idea is just send and throw them the money, and need to do that. You don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. You help them financially, but you need to be individuals that are praying for the missionary. If you were to ask me today, "Brother Smith, would you rather have our money or our prayer?" I'll tell you right now, keep your money and pray for us. Because if you're really praying, I know you'll be interested in sending the money, and thank God for that, but you'll certainly be interested in keeping us in the spiritual trenches, winning the war for the Lord. And sometimes it's just not pertaining to sickness, it may pertain to Satan. Remember, the devil came before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he let Satan loose on Job. And sometimes that missionary has to go through all kinds of problems like that. Now you stop and think about it. Missionaries are invading fields that sometimes for centuries, if not millennium, nobody's been saved. And all of a sudden they come in there and they're getting people saved and they're wanting to build a work for God that'll last for generations. Do you think, are we so naive to think that Satan is not going to muster the biggest of attacks that he can on that individual? And I was thinking about it this morning. If it would be easy, everybody would be doing it. And I never dreamed getting on the road trying to raise money to print Bibles, the new level of new devils that would come against you, because Satan hates the Word of God. Amen. And you let a missionary take the Word of God to a foreign field and he's really getting the job done. Satan is going to find a way to attack him. And we're to help them by praying for them. Maybe it pertains to their psyche. You know, we've all read the great books of Hudson Taylor and David Livingston and different ones that went to the mission field and they turned their area upside down. But let's say that missionary goes to the mission field and he dots all the I's and he crosses all the T's and he does it absolutely the way he's supposed to do it. And he fails. Failure is a possibility. Really weight him down to the place that he just feels like he's a loser, and maybe there's been no converts and no baptisms, and you know, we start comparing ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise. And we say, well, the church down the street is doing more, that brother over there is doing more. Hey, just adapt the thinking. I know he knows, and that's all that matters. And I've just got to do what pleases the Lord and what God has for me and make sure I'm doing it the way God wants it done. But sometimes your head, you start playing head games there, and the devil, he can certainly get in your head if you're not careful. And there's a lot, and I've seen over the years, there's a lot of, even in our churches, people with what I call spiritual TSD or whatever those initials are, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome or whatever it is. And sometimes something can happen big and bad, and it can hurt, take years for that missionary individuals to get over. Maybe not just personal troubles or relationship troubles. Here's another type folk never think about. Ministerial troubles. Have you ever thought about the travel alone of a missionary? What it takes? Some of them, they have to travel long ways, maybe on a Jeep or a jeepney or maybe a scooter or maybe like Paul, walk. Or maybe land a plane on the side of a mountain, some remote area. You know, all the things that happen in travels. With all the other brethren, the Bible tells us that he almost in desperation says, y'all get it all together. I just want to build a fire. I don't want to cause no problem. I just want to build a fire. And he sticks his hand down in the fire and a snake puts his mouth upon him and bites him. And sometimes it's things that the missionary has to deal with that you and I never thought about. What if you had to deal with snakes and varmints and tarantulas and bears and lions and tigers? Oh my, all that sort of stuff. You know, things that you and I just, you know, they've got those there? Yeah, they've got those there. And they're real. And they have to deal with that. Maybe in their travels or maybe in the building. Sometimes the buildings are not what we get used to as buildings here. We got a picture not long ago of a church in the Philippines sent to us that the people were sitting in pews and they had had their floods and the water was about this deep up over their ankles in the church, and they're still sitting there in church worshiping the Lord. I wonder if you'd do that here today. You know, they go through things in their buildings. I was preaching in Africa one time, and when they didn't have any windows on any in the buildings, and it was a cinder block building, and they were just sitting there staring at me, looking, you know, and all of a sudden a cow sticks her head in and goes, and man, it echoed, and everybody came alive then, you know. I was getting more amens out of that cow than I was the people. And one time I saw a dog just walk down the middle of the aisle and he came up and stood right there and looked up at me and shook his tail like, you know, everything's all right. And I thought, is somebody not going to get this dog? I'm trying to preach. And he just laid down. Everybody acted like, oh, yeah, that's the church dog. Everybody knows that thing. And they deal with things that we never think about. I think about we went to a church in the bush and got there to a church that was about 3 years old, and they had about 300 people in that church, and they were so excited. And the pastor told us that those 300 people, all of them had been saved in the last 2 years. And you went in, and those, I couldn't understand a word they were saying, but their face was so bright and they were shining. I could just feel God when they were, you know, they had been saved long enough, nobody had told them, you're not supposed to be happy at church. And it was like, you could just, I don't know what they're saying, but this is good. You know, they were excited in the Lord. And my pastor started preaching through an interpreter, and I went out the side. I was going to go in the back, and I was going to step up there and film from the back, my pastor preaching. And when I got up on the front porch out there, I saw something I'd always heard about, but I'd never witnessed it. And it was a girl that was possessed of a devil. And she was writhing, and there was things coming out of her and foaming and stuff. And the ladies of the church were holding her down. This is a Gospel Light Baptist church. And they were praying. And I know I didn't stay there very long. I had enough in me to know I don't know if I like being around this stuff or not. I guarantee you, you don't want to be around that stuff. It's real. Witch doctors, shamans, occults, spells cast. You say, I don't believe in it. Well, you better believe in it. Doctrines of devils. The devil's got doctrine. And they're certainly real when that missionary gets out there. What if you'd like to be a missionary in Israel and, you know, half your church has been abducted? How would you like to be in the Ukraine and, you know, you meet here this week and you start a church and it got blown up? And then so-and-so that was your deacon, he's no longer alive. You know, things that we just in America, we just take so for granted, and we never think about these missionaries might be dealing with is trouble on their mission field where they're at. Think about the language disparity that some of them go through. They, you know, missionary goes to the field, it takes them years to learn that language. You know, there's 7,099 languages out there, and only 648 languages have a whole Bible. And when you stop and think about that, you say, wow, that missionary gets there and he tries to interpret the scriptures or do something and he can't even speak their language aright. Think about those language disparity that comes into play in a ministry. Or maybe the customs. You better learn what the customs are when you go to a mission field. And many places you cannot walk in their yard without their permission, or, you know, you do certain things and it'll cause some issues. First time I went to Mexico, there was these Indians, they were hot madre Indians, they were dressed certain ways. We started taking pictures and the missionary immediately grabbed our cameras from us and said, stop doing that. And I could tell they were shying away when we take their pictures, and their view is you take a picture of them, you take their soul from them. And we say, well, how ludicrous. Well, that's their custom. And that's what they believe. And you'll be on a train home real quick if you do not learn some of those. Or what if it's the land itself? You know, deep south we deal with tornadoes. Oklahoma tornadoes. And different things like that. But what if it's tsunamis? Florida, hurricanes. You know, jungles. You know, typhoons. Different things in different places. I'm used to growing up and it's hot and things like that, but if the Lord called me to Siberia, so I don't know if I can deal with that. And maybe they're placed in a place that you can't buy a Big Mac and you can't go to Walmart and you know, and all of a sudden, like a missionary friend of mine now, he's in the 1040 window in the Middle East and he's 60 years old. His wife and him just went to the mission field and now she's having to wear a burqa over her face and only her eyes can be seen. Anytime she's out in public. Now, could you adjust to that? And that's what some of these missionaries are called to go to. And lastly, I'll say this. Could you imagine doing all of that and not having a Bible? Came up to me to Brazil. And he was ministering to the Portuguese people. And he said, Brother Smith, can Victory Baptist Press print me some Bibles for the Portuguese people? And this missionary was weeping. He was so moved with the need. He said, I've been there 4 years. I have one Bible. None of the congregation of about 40 people in our church have a Bible. They have to look at my Bible and listen to my Bible and write down things that's in my Bible. I need the Portuguese scriptures. And the story on the Portuguese scriptures is there's only one translation of it, and it's owned by the Trinitarian Bible Society. And the Trinitarian Bible Society will not let you print it because it's copyrighted unless you pay them an astronomical fee for a one-time printing. And he could not get scriptures. He was so broken to that. Could you imagine not having a Bible as a Christian? Could you imagine being in a mission field as a preacher and you needing scriptures? And so that's the great plea that we have, with the, not just to consider the need to send finances, but the need to pray for these missionaries and the need to maybe say, hey, let's get behind getting some Bibles to those individuals. Nobody's trying to make any money off this thing. We're trying to get people saved. That's what we've been called to do. And certainly we recognize that. But I conclude with this thought in this verse. God don't want us to be ignorant of the trouble. He says you help together by prayer for those missionaries. And may I implore you, please, to go by the letters, look at them, maybe see if you can get them emailed to you. And certainly, I believe Ms. Blair, is that the name? She takes care of these very faithfully for you and your church. And read those letters. They're very, very important. You can help the missionary. Heavenly Father, please bless what's been taught here today. Thank you for this church. Lord, I'm talking to and teaching to a church today that certainly puts their faith on the mission field in light of prayer and money. And Dee and I certainly thank them so much for being the ones that have stood with us and kept us going, Lord, in the last few years. And I pray you'll bless them for it. In Jesus' name, amen.